Gimli is so funny, and
you have to toss me.
Orlando Bloom so hot during her.
Orlando Bloom's pretty damn
hot. He's
hot
in all three movies. Let's be clear.
Yes. So, but that was like, that was
Legolas
when, like,
is
yeah.
Lego that looking. Ass.
Welcome to the Rampant Discourse Podcast. I'm your host, Paul Etson. I'm joined by my regular discoursers, Travis Hudson and Andrew Riley, and special guest discourser, Kirky. We're going through the movies of the 2000s, talking about our favorite movie, the ones we think are most influential, others worthy of discourse, and we're doing this year is 2001. So, Kirky, why don't you kick us off with the highest grossing movies of 2001?
Okay, so we have in number one, Harry Potter and the Philosopher's Stone, or Sorcerer's Stone, depending on where you're located. This one had $975 million.
Sizable jump from last year.
Yeah, not quite double, but, you know, with last year only $546 million, you've got a huge gap there. And this one was followed with by The Lord of the Rings, The Fellowship of the Ring. And
a
that
much
was...
longer movie, so harder for it to make as much money.
Wow.
I mean, you know, it was $871 million still. I mean,
still
it was
significantly
it was very
more.
Yeah. good still. And the next one is Monsters, Inc. Then we have Shrek, Ocean's 11, Pearl Harbor, The Mummy Returns, Jurassic Park 3, Planet of the Apes, and Hannibal.
Speaking of movies that were attempted to start franchises, yeah. Planet of the Apes fell on its face.
I know I got yelled at last year for talking in advance of this, but I think by my count, 8 of the top 10 grossing movies were a part of a franchise this year.
Are you counting Planet of the Apes, which wasn't actually a franchise?
Yeah, because they finally make a sequel?
They
made a trilogy out of it.
I think they've made more movies.
I try to remember if they made another one. Maybe Tim Burton wasn't involved with them.
I don't think so.
The article I was reading that he said he didn't want to be associated with.
There's also a question of, you know, were those later Planet of the Apes movies actually continuations of this series or just same kind of IP?
Didn't they both have Caesar, though? I thought Andy Serkis' Caesar was carried through throughout.
I haven't seen any of them, so I can't say.
Neither have I.
Although it's also a weird thing, they were remaking an existing franchise.
Yeah,
like that's a weird...
But still, I mean...
That hadn't really happened before this too much either. We're talking about Gone with 60 Seconds last year and Italian Job later. And this seemed to be... That's another trend I noticed. This is the decade of remakes.
Remakes and franchises are obviously a huge part of this. But I also want to say, these are all also, with some of these exceptions here, but really strong movies.
Yeah.
When I was looking through 2001, I was saying, you know, I thought 1999 was hard. 2001 may actually be a better year for movies than 1999 was. That's just the quality of movies that were across all of the board. You know, the top grossing there, Harry Potter and the Philosopher's Stone, it's a good movie. It's going to start off a good franchise with a lot of good movies. And obviously, The Lord of the Rings is a great movie and has a lot of good stuff to it. And those are just the top grossing ones. There are a lot of stuff that's under the radar that are also surprisingly strong movies throughout. It was a very hard year for me to choose.
It's a very hard year for me to choose for you guys.
Yeah, this was the... Well, we've only had one year. This is the first hard year, but...
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to correct the best picture and jump ahead to the 2002 Oscars. So it actually includes movies released in 2001.
Yay. Thank you.
So, best picture leading up to the winner, we have Moulin Rouge with an exclamation point. So you got to say Moulin Rouge, I guess. Lord of the Rings, Fellowship of the Ring. Nice to see it actually nominated. In the Bedroom, not the same caliber as Fellowship of the Ring, I believe, but Gosford Park, speaking of movies where I didn't know what they were saying until about 10 or 15 minutes in, that was one of them. And the winner is A Beautiful Mind, which also had Best Director with Ron Howard, and Best Supporting Actress, Jennifer Connelly, so not quite the sweep that American Beauty had,
Now I'm very tempted to change my guess for Andrew for this year. We'll see if I'm going to do it or not. I don't know.
All right.
Andrew was really hard this year.
Yeah, speaking of guessing.
I think it's a really hard year for me because there are so many movies. This is not the hardest year for me. There's one a couple of years later where I basically could not decide between two movies. This one you could pick any of six, and I think you'd get some credit almost.
I have like 6 movies written down for you.
Yay!
I wonder how many of mine are in yours.
Why don't you explain the guessing game again?
So the guessing game is that even though we are good friends, we have different tastes, and we don't necessarily know each other's tastes as well as we think we do, and so we're going to put those to the test. And each of us has picked a movie for one of each of the others that we hope is going to be either their favorite movie of the year or their most influential movie of the year. If we guess correctly, we'll get a point. If we guess incorrectly, there's no points. The only thing we win are Pride Bucks. But here's where the Pride Bucks standings are.
How many Pride Bucks?
Paul has 2 Pride Bucks.
Yes.
Travis, Gerke, and I each have 1 Pride Buck.
Losers.
Paul's just excited because he's winning for once.
For the first time ever in this game.
Well, let's hear Paul's guesses then.
All right. So for Gerke, I'm going to go with Moulin Rouge. For Travis, this was a tough one. I actually didn't...
It's a tough one for my own personal choice, too.
Okay. So I feel like I'm going to be wrong on this, but I'm going to take a chance and say The Fast and the Furious. And for Andrew, The Moment of Truth, I'm switching it. I had said Memento, but I'm going to switch it to A Beautiful Mind now.
Okay.
Gerke.
Okay. So, Paul, you picked Lord of the Rings.
Okay. Which one?
Fellowship of the Ring.
The only one that came out this year.
All right.
Travis, I actually changed mine for you to Lord of the Rings.
I see.
I had been considering Jay and Silent Bob for some reason. I think you like those movies, but I'm not.
You don't have to say it so derisively.
No, sorry. I say it like that because I really don't know what kind of movies you
like. I don't like them either.
No, because I pointed out to Travis over email, you know, I've seen maybe 1 or 2 movies with you in the theaters. You know, I think I've seen more movies with Andrew. I've seen the most with Paul, obviously. But I don't have a good understanding of what movies you like.
Well, I think we all have that same sentiment about...
About me?
Like, well, no, but like, Andrew either really loves this or really hates it.
So yeah, this decade in particular, like almost every year I'm like, I know he feels really strongly about this. I just can't remember if he hates it or loves it.
Yeah.
All right, so what did you pick for Andrew?
I picked A Beautiful Mind for Andrew. Even before this discussion.
This?
It's listed up here. It's number 1.
All right.
Okay, Travis, some picks.
Paul, I picked Lord of the Rings. All right. The Fellowship of the Ring, to be clear.
Okay.
I don't know. I will not be swayed. At least I'm going to be the contrarian. I would switch it to A Beautiful Mind, but I'm going to stick with Memento for Andrew.
That was my number 2 for him.
No. And Gerke, I'm picking Harry Potter and I said Sorcerer's Stone. Fine. Philosopher's Stone.
Which one
did you see? Did you see it in England or America? Or
I did see it in the United States.
States of America. So that's my picks.
Okay. Spoiler, I saw it.
So my picks for Travis, I picked Memento.
Ooh, dueling picks.
For Gerke, I picked Harry Potter and the Philosopher's Stone.
We'll see who's right.
We all picked something different.
And for Paul, I picked Lord of the Rings, Fellowship of the Ring.
So this is my record for a dream. All right.
I'll say, I even thought I knew Paul's influential on this one, too.
Oh, I
did. Lord of the Rings, Fellowship of the Ring?
My influential Harry actually, Potter on that.
My influential doesn't make a lot of sense.
Oh, really?
I already feel bad about it.
Okay. All right, Paul, what's your favorite?
You shall not pass.
But we shall all get points. Yes.
But you all get Pride Bucks. Lord of the Rings, the Fellowship of the Ring.
I guess it makes it meaningful we catch up to Paul.
Yeah. Do I need to explain? I mean, it's a great movie. It's a lot of fun. It's got comedy, heart, action.
No. One question I had would be, and it's not really relevant to enjoying the movie, had you read the books first?
No. Hadn't read the books first. Didn't
still
know.
Still haven't, right?
And I still haven't, actually. Yeah,
it took me 3 tries to get through The Fellowship.
I've thought about it, but everything I've heard makes me think that it's probably not worth it.
I read it in 8th grade. I really liked it.
Yeah.
One day, sat down. It was like, I think the first fantasy book I read. My dad was into them, and so he's like, here, read this. And so I just sat down one day. I think we were in LA or something, and I just read the whole book.
Nothing else to do in LA, so.
Yes. Yeah. I know. What else would you do there?
I'm sure Andrew had it read to him in the crib or something.
Yeah, probably.
With his parents.
Did you beat me when you read it?
8th grade is about when I read it. I had The Hobbit read to me earlier, and then I read The Lord of the Rings around that time period.
Yeah.
He read it in the original Elven.
No.
Or whatever it's called. It's probably not even called Elven, is it?
Elvish.
Elvish.
I don't know.
You guys are making me feel like I should have picked Lord of the Rings for him.
So I have a question for you, Paul. And this is something we did talk about in the email earlier, and this is a good time to bring it up. The Fellowship of the Ring is the first of the series of movies of The Lord of the Rings.
Mm-hmm.
And speaking forward to the next 2 years, so it's a little bit unfair, but comparing this to The Two Towers or The Return of the King, is this something where we're going to be picking one movie from the series and this is the best one? Or is this something where you could see yourself picking more of these things later on? Is this the best movie in the Lord of the Rings franchise, or is it not?
Is there any way
ask him again in a few years.
Ask me.
Is there any way to interpret this other than you're trying to change your answer for next year's?
Well, this is what I'll throw this out. I made sure that in my picks that if I was going to pick a franchise movie, that unless it was clearly the best movie of the franchise, I was picking the first movie.
So you went with the Academy Awards route, where you completely ignored the Lord of the Rings.
But except I went with the first one, not the last one.
Oh, okay. But yeah, yes. But the same concept where you ignored the first two movies, and then the third, you're like, okay, here's all the awards to make up for the fact that we ignored you the first two times.
In reverse order, essentially, yeah. Yes.
You'll have to find out.
Fair enough. To your point about the Academy Awards, like, it is like a... You could conceivably pick multiple of them because you didn't really like any other movies that year, but it doesn't have to... So, like, I'm saying, like, Return of the King maybe isn't the best entry, or Two Towers, or Fellowship, or whatever your choice is, the worst. You still might have liked it better than every other movie that year. That's entirely possible.
I think that's going to be the case, and I still didn't pick it.
It's a very legitimate question, and it's something as soon as I got to 2001, I saw this, I struggled with it. I'm like, what am I going to do?
Yep.
Because I hadn't looked at 2002 and 2003 yet, but I knew those other movies were in there. Assuming it goes how I think it's going to go, do I pick the Lord of the Rings movies for every year, or do I just pick one of them? And you'll find out. That's all I'll say.
Fair enough
for now.
It's one of those things that makes this particular decade, because we've been talking about the trends of these things, but Harry Potter's worse. If you like the Harry Potter movies,
snip that
there's
out.
There's a lot of them.
Harry Potter's worse.
The next 8 years we're spoken for.
Bingo. Yeah. So it's gonna be rough.
Yeah. Now, I will say, I think this movie in particular is a little different than the other two. I will say that, in that Two Towers and Return of the King both kind of have these massive epic battles between the forces of good and evil and a lot of stuff going on. This is a little bit more intimate. It's much more restricted to the Fellowship and less focused on worldly events. It also
feels more idyllic, if that's how you pronounce that word.
Yeah.
Because you start in the Shire.
The Fit hasn't hit the Shan yet. Yeah. Or the Shire. The Fit hasn't... No, does that work? Maybe. Fit hasn't... No.
Stop trying to make that work.
That was a massive eye roll from my wife right there.
I'm sorry. It was my...
Okay.
It was an audible eye roll.
Yeah, it was an audible eye roll. That's how strong of an eye roll it was. But yeah, so I don't think... I don't feel like I have to defend this pick at all.
No.
Other than maybe defend it if I pick the Two Towers and Return of the King as well.
Yeah. We'll come back to that at that point. But... I will say that on a personal note, I think this is the best of the Lord of the Rings movies. So in addition to liking this movie a lot, it was going to be the one that I was going to pick as the best.
Why is it your favorite?
Why is it my favorite? Because I think it is the strongest narrative that hews closest to the book, while also being amazingly visual. The work done in Two Towers in particular is amazing cinematography, and the creature work that Peter Jackson is so well known for is outstanding, but it isn't as strong narratively. Mm-hmm. And The Return of the Kings just goes way too off the deep end, especially with all the stuff that they pull from the Silmarillion in, which is fine. It's appropriate stuff. It's proper lore. But you don't need to have 30 endings to a movie.
So this comes down to basically the book was better for you. You read the book first, and the movies...
I think that this movie, Fellowship of the Ring, was a fantastic movie that did a great job of interpreting and relaying the book into movie form, whereas the other two are good movies that don't relay it as well and have some impressive set pieces, but aren't as strong.
What's the biggest crime of this, in terms of that Peter Jackson changed from the books to the movies for you? Is it Faramir?
I'm going to go with the true fan answer, which is that Tom Bombadil has been cut.
From everything I've heard, I'm glad that he
It probably cut. Is the right choice.
I think he would have made me hate the movie a little bit.
I think that's a fair assumption, actually.
Yeah. Okay.
But that's the thing that I think every fan is like, couldn't we have had this? And my recollection is he doesn't even appear in the 3.5-hour extended cut.
Oh, I was going to say, it's already a 3-hour movie. You didn't need to add anything more to this movie.
I will also say, right now, I'm currently reading The Hobbit to my kids, and... My gosh, does J.R.R. Tolkien go on?
Oh, gosh. Is it 50 pages describing, like, a forest?
Yeah, one of my English lit co-students, I guess, in college, yeah. he hated Tolkien because he's like, I don't need to read 2 pages of him describing a wall. Like that's
yeah.
How many songs does this book have?
What's worse, Tolkien or Ayn Rand with John Galt's speech?
Ooh. Oh, wow. In terms of... The thing is, Tolkien is at least poetic in his language.
Yeah. Rand is not poetic.
No. That is a wall of prose that is a rhetorical screed disguised as narrative.
Who is... Rand was? Okay. Yeah. Because prose makes it sound like it's poetic to me. But I guess
prose
not.
Prose means it's not.
It's just words.
Oh, it means it's not poetic?
Yeah.
All right, Mr. English.
Does it mean that? I think prose just means that it's words.
Okay.
It doesn't mean... I don't think it has connotation.
Yeah, I at least differentiate it from, obviously, graphic novels. I guess I always treat prose and poetry differently.
Well, prose and poetry are the two major forms of literature. I mean, we have new forms now, but that's historically.
Oh, see,
prose is separate from poetry, necessarily.
Yes.
Okay. I just thought it was written word. I didn't realize that
prose
it meant...
Prose has spoken.
I didn't realize it meant spoken. Not spoken. Poetry. But then again,
it's written word that tends to exclude poetry, but it's generic enough that it could include anything that's written.
Okay,
I'm sorry, I got us off track.
We were off track.
Yeah.
Paul, really? Lord of the Rings, Fellowship of the Ring is your pick.
I think everyone gets points.
Ah,
yes.
Just to settle the argument, Google says, prose is written or spoken language in its ordinary form without metrical structure.
Okay.
Which I think...
So it is kind of the opposite of poetry. Right?
No. Yes. Not the opposite. It's the absence of poetry.
It's the absence
okay,
of poetry.
Sure.
Or metrical structure.
I was going to say, because not all poetry necessarily has a metrical structure,
yes,
right?
But those poets are shit, so.
Tolkien had metrical structure. That's all that matters. All right. What's Kirky's favorite movie?
Okay. I think I may have telegraphed this a bit last year.
Crap.
And you guys are all wrong.
Oh, really?
The Fast and the Furious.
This was really hard. I had four movies
that I really wanted to pick.
And one of them was Moulin Rouge?
No.
You love Moulin Rouge.
No, I don't.
You don't?
No. I love my favorite thing from that.
You sing that all the time.
No, I don't.
You can also like the music for a movie and not like the movie.
The movie was good enough.
So
I
was the Moulin Rouge person in college, and I remember making Paul try to watch it. I watched it for a class, and I agreed with my teacher that there's a moment, I don't know why I still remember this, I think it's 43 minutes into the movie, when Ewan McGregor and Nicole Kidman are dancing on the balcony,
mm-hmm.
and they step off the balcony and start dancing like mm-hmm. in the air with the moon, and my teacher said, that's the point where either you're going to love this movie, or you're going to hate this movie. And I told Paul that, he stood up and walked out of the room when we were watching it.
That sounds like me. All
right. Wow. So Fast and the Furious, not Moulin Rouge.
Not Moulin Rouge.
That, I had that as a possibility, but I'm shocked that Moulin Rouge isn't in
it wasn't. It wasn't in consideration.
Right. So more Vin Diesel, though.
Paul Walker.
Sorry.
I think the reason you're saying, I said is Paul Walker.
No, I like the story.
You said more Vin Diesel?
Yes.
Well, yeah, Vin Diesel not from my last pick, but from...
Pitch Black. From
Pitch
my...
Black, yeah.
Oh, okay.
The one that you guys were talking about last time.
Then in the movie he wasn't in Gone in 60 Seconds? Yes, it's more Vin Diesel.
That's an inherently better movie already.
100% more Vin Diesel. That was the tagline for Fast and Furious.
100% more Vin Diesel, 100% less Nick Cage.
Yeah.
200% better movie.
Oh.
Shade to Nick
Cage. Movies.
I like Nicolas Cage movies too.
I like a lot of his movies, actually.
Yeah, I do too.
This was the decade of our mandates to see Nick Cage as well.
Yeah.
Spoiler, none of them made my favorite movie.
Most of them
We kept going to see them, even though we kept on coming up being like, nah, it wasn't very good.
It's not about the movie we saw, it's about the time we spent.
Yeah.
Yes. Alright, so this was kind of as much as we're saying this is a tough year to pick movies, so I feel like maybe I didn't necessarily pick like the best my favorite
uh-oh.
Movie. So yeah, you're all wrong.
Okay.
I don't think anyone even came close, so we'll see. Paul should maybe get it from
Warcraft.
No. You've been weighed.
Yep.
You've been measured and you've been found wanting.
I had that on my list.
A Knight's Tale.
Yep.
Wow.
I did not have that for you.
Rufus Sewell.
Rufus Sewell. Come on, man.
No,
Dark City.
I love the movie. Mm-hmm. I'm just surprised it made your pick.
Yeah, like looking at the list of movies I wrote down, I'm like, It kind of passed the if all these movies were on TV at the same time, which one am I going to stick with? It's going to be Knight's Tale. Movies don't have to be fun. Obviously, Requiem for a Dream. But I had the most fun watching this. I mean, Heath Ledger. Like, I actually liked the
anachronisms, that's the word.
Of like having like
so many anachronisms.
Yeah, of having all these anachronisms in it and like this bizarre version of Chaucer in it and like all like
it, to me it's very similar to The Replacements, where it has a certain kind of weird niche that it fills that very few other movies fill. And if the Fellowship of the Ring is on and The Knight's Tale is on, I might go with The Knight's Tale.
Just you're because I'm gonna split screen them.
Well, because I might not want to be committed watch to like 4 hours of Lord of the Rings, but The Knight's Tale is a nice compact story.
Well, that can be another. I don't remember how long Knight's Tale is, but that this is slight tangent. But that's something I've gotten to in my old age now. But like, I don't want to sit through a 3 hour movie anymore.
Yeah,
like so I would prefer to get in and out in 90 minutes.
You know,
Gherky's laughing. I don't.
Well, so, how long was Endgame and how many times did Paul see it?
Pretty recently, Gherky and I watched Robin Hood, as we, I think, discussed off air. Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves. Yeah, she actually, at
I couldn't
one point,
remember the name
she
of it.
She said, like, do you want to watch Robin Hood, Men in Tights? I'm like, no.
Or you could watch, watch Disney Robin Hood. That's why you have to specify Prince of Thieves.
So, Prince of Thieves. And we have the director's cut or the extended edition that adds a couple scenes. And she's
more
like, oh, yeah, well,
Kevin Costner butt.
No, I think it's the same amount of Kevin Costner butt, but it's more like pagan worshiping and more of the guy's tongue being cut out. Anyway,
more rusty spoons.
It was like a 2.5 hour movie, which is I'm like, wow, I don't remember being that long. And yeah, sometimes you don't really want to sit through a 2.5 hour. And most of those extra scenes didn't add much to it.
Now, I'm not saying I picked Night's Tale because it's short or anything. I just really enjoy it.
It's a really good movie,
but I don't think it. Not that I don't think it gets it props or anything. It's not something that like a lot of people, the fact that none of you even came close to guessing it or anything. It's not something that people are going to necessarily remember when you're in the same year with Harry Potter and Lord of the Rings and Beautiful Mind and Moulin Rouge and all these other movies. Like
I think that
slips
it.
Under
it's,
the radar.
It's a competition. There's so many big blockbusters that made a lot of money and are pretty good movies that it,
yeah. And also in it's kind of a retrospect movie of like I see Heath Ledger now in it and like it elevates it for me some.
Sure.
But I had also, I mean, I had seen 10 Things I Hate About You and
well, that, that's a really good
Nat and Julia Stiles, like, oh, yeah, like, I like
such a good movie. That's not the decade, right?
I think I mentioned
it. Was 1999, though. It was.
You guys have not released 1999 yet.
No, we have not. I'm just saying, it's in 1999.
Yeah.
But it's got a good cast. It's got Rufus Sewell, like we mentioned. Mm-hmm. It has Alan Tudyk as Chaucer. It's got,
I liked the Chaucer guy.
Can't remember. It's got the actress from Cosby Show, maybe, or...
Lisa Bonet? That's the only one I remember that had an acting career outside that show.
I can't remember. But the princess, I think, is...
Okay.
She's somebody. Sorry.
We have to derail it.
Yeah, I'm not going to derail us. But it's
I would
cast.
Say that this was definitely a movie that I had on my list to look into, but it didn't make even my worthy of discourse.
Have you seen it?
Oh, yeah, I've seen it. But it would have, if this had included my wife instead of your wife. Because this is a movie my wife and I have watched many, many times together, and we both very much enjoy. Yeah. I just didn't think it was part of this crowd's discussion. Whereas I think it important enough to meet the requirement for the worthy discourse. But I do like the movie quite a bit.
And maybe that's part of it. I think, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think The Replacements and Knight's Tale are both movies that both my wife and I can sit down and both equally enjoy. Whereas maybe The Fellowship of the Ring is a little too heavy.
And they're interesting because they're like, well, actually I haven't seen The Replacements, so I don't know.
You haven't seen The Replacements?
Oh my god, you have to watch it.
But like, it's good. You gotta watch it.
But like, really
the recording is over. We're gonna watch it now.
But they kind of fall into, if I understand what The Replacements are, I mean, I've seen the posters and stuff like that, like, kind of falls into those two movies and something like Major League kind of fall into the same category of, like, they're not parodies, but they're kind of poking fun at their source material.
I'd say they're dramedies.
I don't think they're drama
movies that have a lot of comedy in them that are not full drama that has comedy for lightning of the moments, that they're truly hybrids where this is something that they're doing both at the same time.
Well, okay,
but
that's
not
what
poking
I mean.
Fun at.
Well, not
like
that's what I mean. It's not poking fun. They're like, but they're.
But I feel like Major League is supposed to be more like. I think a joke movie, whereas Replacements isn't.
Okay.
I would say maybe Mighty Ducks might be a good comparison, where there's plenty of humor in there, but it's also you really rooting for the team to go through and beat those.
You're talking about Replacements.
Yeah,
The Replacements, yeah. It's it takes itself seriously, but it is very humorous, and there are never...
You should just watch it.
But say, so obviously, like, since I haven't
would
seen...
Would you like to borrow it?
Since I haven't seen either one of them, I've obviously always... conflated's the wrong word, but like I thought it's almost a similar movie as Unnecessary Roughness, and that's the
football equivalent of Major League.
Necessary Roughness?
Necessary Roughness, whatever it was.
I've seen it, but not for a long time. I think it's pretty similar. Yeah.
To Major League, not to Replacements. Oh. Or which one. Either way.
Either one.
We're like, off in the woods now.
They're all similar-ish. I think Major League is a little bit more comedy than the others. And I think Replacements takes itself more seriously. I think Necessary Roughness is probably in between the two.
It's been a while since I've seen Replacements, but hearing you say that Replacements takes itself seriously strikes me as wrong.
I think it takes itself more seriously than Major League. You don't think so?
I disagree, but
it's
I haven't seen...
It's not tongue-in-cheek.
It's not.
It's more what... I haven't seen the movie in
too long to really comment, but I don't... That's not my recollection.
Mm-hmm. I mean, come on. It's got the whole speech about quicksand. Do you remember that?
I don't remember that.
Oh, man.
Paul, I'll give it to you.
I can't reset it word for word, so I'm not going to do it.
All right. Let's hear Andrew's favorite movie of 2001.
My favorite movie of 2001 is... Lord of the Rings, Fellowship of the Ring.
Oof. Oh, wow.
That was in my list.
Upset.
It is an astounding movie. I like it. The whole series is really, really, really good.
Of course, we should have predicted this from his 10 minutes talking about it earlier in this episode.
So
it was too late by then.
Once he was doing that, I was like, I think I went with the wrong thing.
So I've already said a lot of what I wanted to say about it, but I'll give you guys a chance to not make those picks. I'm not going to pick either the Two Towers or the Return of the King.
That's the information you're trying to get out of me, huh?
Yeah. So I'm going to give it to you instead. I'm not going to do that because this movie starts that franchise. It is the best movie in that franchise, and it is the most important in that franchise. So,
which is interesting because we're jumping ahead, but since you started talking about the whole franchise, like I thought. Probably if you polled a lot of people, I would have expected most people would have said Two Towers. Because that was the one that seemed to have like, oh my god, it has Helm's Deep and...
The Helm's Deep battle is astounding. It has like 40 minutes of non-stop fighting, Gimli? Which is incredible.
Gimli is so funny and...
You have to toss me.
Orlando Bloom so hot to order.
Orlando Bloom's pretty damn
hot. He's hot in all three movies, let's be clear.
Yes.
So, that was
Legolas
more like...
Legolas is...
Yeah.
Lego that ass.
Andrew's getting a lot of sound clips out of this episode.
Yeah. I think we know who's going to be introing all these podcasts.
All right, so...
Well, so how about this? You said that you aren't going to pick the other movies. I'm not going to make that promise.
Fair enough.
All right, changing picks now. All right, Paul.
I'll say.
All right. Interesting. What's your influential movie, Paul? Since I don't think Andrew has anything...
I don't think there's anything... I've said my piece.
Told us, yeah.
So I think I've already said this. I'm not... very happy about this pick, but this is what I went with. I went with Shrek. And part of it is because it kickstarted a surprisingly lucrative and popular series. I think people may have forgotten, but they had four movies, most of which were one of the highest grossing of its year. And in addition to that, I think Mike Myers and Eddie Murphy created some pretty memorable characters that lasted pretty long. You hear a lot of like.
You really think that's more influential than Harry Potter?
So I understand.
I was pretty sure you put Harry Potter. That's
I understand how Harry Potter is more obviously influential because obviously there's eight movies.
Made more money.
Well, but the thing is like Harry Potter made more Harry Potter movies. Did it inspire? Yeah. Same thing with Lord of the Rings. Like, did it inspire another wave of like fantasy movies to be popular?
There were two
but
strikes.
He's not saying that Shrek did. He's saying that Shrek had.
Well, okay.
More
I'm just
movies.
Saying like that would be my counterpoint to Harry Potter. Yeah, I'd offer the same counterpoint against the Shrek. Like, how did? Although it inspired, Mike Myers didn't show his face on screen for like a decade because he was just doing Shrek stuff, right?
Well, so. I'll say the two strikes I had against the Harry Potter movies.
I think he had
that.
One Austin Powers.
Austin Powers
movie.
Comes out during
he had like Gold Member, yeah. But that was it.
He also had the Darjeeling Unlimited and stuff like that.
He was in that.
I don't know. Maybe that's was in that. That's, everyone else was in that movie, according to IMDb. But
he's in some stupid Indian train movie, Love Guru. That was so bad.
He got this.
That sounds a little more like him.
That was like his Zohan, basically.
To Paul, Paul's making a point. I'm going to steal the thunder because I'm talking already. And
you didn't even let Paul finish.
That's fine.
I'm going to let you finish in a minute.
Make my point
I'm
for
gonna
me.
I'm going to make your point for
Andrew
you.
Has just like you made his point for Fellowship. Go ahead.
Shrek is more influential than Harry Potter in the sense that they're both based off of books. Harry Potter plays to the books, so the books are the influence. Shrek has a book, but it has been dramatically changed to make the movie, and the creations that they made for the movie are what influenced things.
Shrek is based off a book?
Yes.
There's a Shrek book?
Yes. Something Stiegman? What's his name? Oh. Walter Stiegman? Something like that?
Robert Stiegman?
Well, that kind of undermines the point that I was going to make, so I'm glad you made it first.
I read this book and watched this movie before my lit and film class, yeah.
Okay. Well, so my point was going to be, it's hard to disentangle for me, how influential the books were versus how influential the movies were. Mm-hmm. I felt like the movies were kind of piggybacking off the books. And yes, there were 8 Harry Potter movies, but I don't know if it really influenced much after that. And even a lot of the actors in there, they didn't have a lot of, they didn't kickstart very many careers. Emma Watson, sure.
Yeah.
But that's about all you can say.
I was going to say, like,
Rupert Grint hasn't done.
Okay, yeah, Cedric Diggory, but he was barely in one of the movies. And the main actors in there, they were either already old and established and they didn't do much afterwards, maybe because they died, or they were the young kids, and only out of all of them, really only Emma Watson had any kind of
career. Daniel Radcliffe has also had a really strong career.
Yeah, he's done a lot of Broadway,
artsy or? Movies and yeah, he's done artsy stuff. He hasn't been in anything. I'm not even going to say approaching the popularity because nothing will, but nothing that a lot of people have seen. Really.
He's got the money to do whatever he wants, so he's doing cool stuff for now. He might do something big later on.
But I feel like Shrek...
Whose career did Shrek kickstart now?
I don't think it kickstarted anybody's career necessarily, okay. But I do think it had a lot of influence, and you had, like, the Scottish accent ogre, like, people were quoting it, donkeys have lairs and stuff like an onion and whatnot. Mm-hmm. It kind of, I don't want to say kickstarted, but it did kind of renew this idea that fairy tales could be flipped on its head, that we saw with things like Maleficent later on. And I'm drawing a blank.
I know I'm probably,
oh, even Frozen.
I think Wicked was out before that Shrek movie.
And okay,
that,
maybe.
In terms of the musical, and that kind of flipped Broadway the role.
Yeah. Well, if you kind of go back all the way to Peabody Sherman and Cracked Fairy Tales and Rocky and Bullwinkle.
Mm-hmm.
So this is old ideas, but it's done to a new generation, and it with mass appeal. And Wicked has mass appeal, too.
Yeah.
But it has mass appeal for adults. Shrek was of all ages.
And there's a lot of anachronisms, too. You know, you'd have, like, parodies of Starbucks and Disney World kind of in this fairy tale.
And the music, similar to Night's Tale.
And yeah, music. You'd have popular music of the time, like All... not All Star.
Counting Crows.
No,
it was All Star.
It was All Star. Yeah, hey, now you're an All Star.
Randomly break out a wrestling ring and start doing WWE moves.
Quite possibly single-handedly revitalized Hallelujah.
Yeah.
And I didn't do research for this because this wasn't one of my movies to pick, but like, maybe did this possibly jumpstart like major celebrity voice acting? It's like up to before this, celebrities have always done voice acting, but like, you know, this is
Robin Williams was the genie back in '92, so I don't think so.
But, well, okay. And like, but so I mean, there's been examples because like, yeah, like James Earl Jones was Mufasa and stuff like that, but like, this movie was almost like wall to wall. Famous people doing voices where, like, you hear the was he prince or king? But you hear it and you're like, oh, that's John Lithgow. Or you hear that, like, oh, that's Eddie Murphy. Like, it's almost sometimes distracting when you're like watching an animated movie now and you're like, oh, I recognize that voice. And which actor is it? Even though you shouldn't really care which actor it is.
Yeah. So, look, like I said, I'm not super happy with the choice. I think I can defend it, but if I also understand it's not the strongest pick I could have made. Gherky, why don't you tell me what's more influential?
Yeah, so
tear yours apart.
I felt like there's only two right
options
for this.
Harry Potter, I guess.
Lord of the Rings and Harry Potter. And I picked Harry Potter. And I will say not only the points that I made before about it but having more movies, they made more money than your Shrek option with the four. but also, it kind of kicked off young adult fiction in a lot of ways, right? And turning those in. So I mentioned Cedric Diggory, and that kind of went into Twilight and then Hunger Games, all of those.
And if you want to take Twilight to the next level, you get 50 Shades of Grey. So.
Yeah.
Teen fiction.
But I was kind of focusing on the young adult fiction with the Harry Potter series and how that kind of...
What about something like Catching Fire or...
That's Hunger Games. And that's all... Yeah, but it is after, right? Well, like, yeah, no, I do think Harry Potter was the kickoff for a lot of those young adult fictions being turned into movies.
So being turned into movies, but also, like, we keep saying, like, oh, there were books beforehand. The whole book series was not out when this movie came out.
She was still writing,
She was still writing them. So it is maybe a cycle. Like, they were popular, sure. But, like, the movies probably exponentially made the books that much more popular. And
I agree.
Vice versa. So, yeah.
But, I mean, if you... I don't know if you remember when Harry Potter first came out, there was, like, pushing in lines. Because back then...
For the books, you mean?
No. to go see the movie. When the first movie came out, people would be waiting in lines. Like, my little sister definitely got, like, elbowed in the side as someone was trying to jostle for seats because not as many theaters had reserved seats back then. Mm-hmm. So you had to show up and wait in line and for them to open the rope or whatever to go in. Yeah, and then there was a stampede and everyone's trying to get the best seats, right? And there was a lot of jostling for this back when this came out.
And to your point, it made almost twice as much money as the highest grossing movie of the previous year. And it made more money than the highest, spoiler alert, the highest grossing movie of next year.
Yeah.
And it made more than The Lord of the Rings, which you know, we've just spent a lot of time. It is the same genre, fantasy. And they're both...
The audience has
in the same...
But I will say also, not only did it kick off movies for young adult fiction, but if you went to the young adult section in bookstores back then or the library, there was a lot less. It has also kicked off the writing. Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's the book who did it, not the movie. But it's
right. You're
it's
saying
hard to separate them.
That's the point I was trying to make. Like the books were there and they were popular, but the movie like really kickstarted. Like if all you had was the books, you probably wouldn't have hunger.
You might not have as many of them. I think the books themselves and their popularity, which they were popular before the movie, would have still increased the genre for young adult,
for Harry Potter popularity. Even for Harry Potter, would you have had Fantastic Beasts and
probably not
whatever the stage show is?
She might have left them alone. After
yeah, none
that.
Of those might have happened if the movie hadn't taken off the way it did.
Although she didn't have that much success with her other books, they did well.
Casual Vacancy, and
which was right under her other pseudonym,
under her pen name, Robert something or other.
They didn't sell badly, but they didn't sell well.
They didn't do nearly as well, so I think she went back to it because of that.
Yeah, I mean, you go where the money is to a certain extent. She's got plenty. She doesn't have to, but you do want to keep giving people what they want to a certain extent. You want the praise and accolades, and why not? The stuff does very well, and it's not bad stuff.
To be clear, and I understand we don't disagree on this, but the big strike against Harry Potter, and the reason why I went with something else, is because I found it very difficult to disentangle how influential the movies were versus the books. And I tended to give more of the credit to the books because I think even if they didn't make the movies, I understand the movies helped and made them more popular, resurrected a whole bunch of stuff.
Made more mainstream.
But I think the books were hugely popular even without the movies.
No, you're
and
right.
And Shrek didn't have that same thing. And so Shrek by itself, I felt was more influential, the movie by itself, than the Harry Potter by itself movie. But like I said, it's hard to argue against Harry Potter.
Did you read the books before the movies for Harry Potter?
I don't remember the order of operations, honestly. I have read all the books. Mm-hmm. I think I probably watched the first movie before I started any of the books. I was not into the books until I saw the movies.
Yeah, so I don't know that you, like, for you personally, I don't think that you would have necessarily read those books if they hadn't been movies.
Probably not.
Because, just in terms of how much I see you read.
Because he reads one book
for me,
a year.
Yeah. Ouch. For me, I definitely would have read those books anyway, and I had read those books anyway already.
Yeah.
So...
All right. Something intellectual, Travis?
Well, speaking of franchises and series and giving people what they want.
Fast and Furious. Hey, so I get a point.
Eight sequels so far, two more planned, a spinoff. Like, there's TV series, apparently, according to Wikipedia, live shows, video games. There's a theme park ride, although they make a theme park ride out of everything, apparently, I found when I was doing some of this research.
Yeah, actually.
It also movies. Was, as far as I can tell, was Michelle Rodriguez's film debut.
Oh,
which
maybe.
I found shocking. I could have sworn she had to be in something before this, but maybe... Oh, she might have been in Girl Fight, I think, maybe was before this.
I've never heard of it in my life.
But especially to a mass audience, this was her debut. But yeah, I mean, like... If we're just going off number of sequels, it even probably surpasses Harry Potter. But just in terms of, like, the effect it's had on culture.
Total
like,
box office gross and, like, I'm close at this point.
Yeah, but, like,
years.
I mean, it's...
Really?
Maybe.
I mean, there's 10 Harry Potter movies.
Eight. Oh, you're counting Fantastic Beasts.
Well, Beasts, okay.
I think you do have to count that. You're fair, right?
Yeah. After.
And so, so released, there's only 9 Fast and Furious. There's
and I don't think two more they've made as much. So I think Harry Potter's got it, but it's probably in the ballpark.
Yeah. But like it's kind of taken on the mantle after was it the fifth or sixth one. It kind of took on the mantle of Mission Impossible at this point. Of like it's the big. Rube Goldberg-esque heist type of movies where they're
what crazy car chase and how many explosions can we
we're gonna have place? Yeah we're gonna have submarines popping out of ice and all this crazy stuff and like and it wasn't ever something I really noticed watching the first few ones, but it's also become it's part of its reputation now is just the diversity of the cast.
Mm-hmm.
Like it was one of the first truly diverse, like Paul Walker was almost the only white person in the movie. And then you had Vin Diesel blend and like Michelle Rodriguez.
Some of the other cops were.
Yeah. But like, it's, yeah, I don't even know I don't even have to say much more of why it's influential. I mean,
I think it's a good pick for
influential. As long as I get the point for it. That's why
you get the point.
Yeah.
So my pick for most influential is Shrek.
Yeah, see?
I was assuming with how hard you were arguing for Paul that you...
See?
All right, I'm going to change all my picks to be the same for the Paul and Andrew.
This is an oddity.
I thought you were going to say Harry Potter.
For the first time ever, Andrew's right.
For the first time ever, Paul and I agree.
You did almost... No, you said for favorite, you did almost say Memento.
No, I didn't.
No, you didn't. Okay.
Memento is in my would have been in my worthy of discourse list, except I've already picked it for you, so I didn't need to. We'll have to talk about it now. But nobody picked Memento out of the four of us, and that's kind of remarkable. So maybe I should, instead of talk about Shrek, I should talk about Memento, because it's a really good movie.
No. Keep back me up here.
You're backed up, Paul.
All right.
You're in the corner. I put baby in the corner.
Nobody puts baby in the corner.
It's wrong decade.
Yeah.
Some more worthy of discourse movies. Garky?
Oh, me? Okay. Well, so I have a few written down. I'm going to say, I want to caveat. So I picked Fast and the Furious as my favorite. There was four of them that I really liked. Have you guys seen Life as a House?
Nope.
I've heard the name, but
never even heard of it.
Really good movie. It's a drama about kind of a kid from a broken home who meets his father for the first time and builds a house over the summer.
Sounds
and it's
boring.
It's very good. There's a lot more into it.
This is why we need her here, because we've not heard of this movie.
I've heard of it. It's boring movies.
Sorry.
It was really good. It was, what's it, Christian Haydenson? Hayden Christensen? What's his name?
Anakin Skywalker?
Anakin
Skywalker, yeah.
It was
just
him.
Call him that.
He was...
Christian Haydenson?
But he was good in this one.
Ouch. He could actually show emotion?
Yes. He showed emotion, and...
Did he still hate Sam? Yeah.
Anakin
was the girl, he doesn't talk about that.
Was the girl soft?
It was a really good movie. You guys should all watch it.
You should not blame the actor for the dialogue that George Lucas wrote.
And then the Ocean's 11.
Okay, Ocean's 11 was a
Ocean's
big
11
one
was really good.
It also, like, I mean...
It had a
huge movie, franchise.
Actors of note all across.
Huge ensemble cast.
And then Legally Blonde.
Another great movie.
That was another backup.
I loved that movie also.
Broadway play.
More that
got some good movies in
there. Yeah, when I was listening to...
The first one was weird. The rest were all fine.
I think Furious is so good, though.
When I was listening to these movies, I think my wife said, like, what about Legally Blonde? I'm like...
It's a good movie.
Not for me,
I really liked it.
I like it, too. And I don't tend to like those kinds
of movies.
Reese
is a good decade, I think.
That's fair.
Reese is very popular. I think
she's
highest paid actress.
Oh, really? Okay.
I could be wrong about that, but I think she was at some point in 2009.
Probably just because of Legally Blonde, though, right? Because there's one and two are both this decade.
Well, Sweet Home Alabama is this decade.
Sweet Home Alabama was this decade.
You're right.
She has other things.
She had another Legally Blonde.
Yeah, Legally Blonde too. Yeah. Okay, is that all your worthy of discourse?
Yeah. I mean, honestly, there's another, but it's okay. I'll leave it off.
All right. I didn't have much, so Knight's Tale I was going to bring up if it wasn't brought up because it's
because it's
movie.
The best movie of the year.
It's pretty good, pretty solid. I can't. So Final Fantasy: The Spirits Within.
Yes,
had that list for him.
Don't really know what to say about
it. Is it good or is it just worthy of discourse?
It's worthy of discourse.
Yeah.
It's not good.
I don't know if quantum leap's the right word, but it's an impressive leap in computer graphics. It really showed what was possible at the time, and obviously it's been surpassed. The story's a little questionable, but that's what you expect of the Final Fantasy movie, I would think.
I remember it was highly anticipated.
It was highly, very hyped.
Because we all wanted to see Sephiroth and Aerys and
no, didn't Cloud. Get out of that.
Yeah.
And it was just fine. Story. The movie, you know, what really sort of set it apart was how they were doing facial animations and the human body and computer
and
graphics.
Hair and stuff like that,
because we'd had computer graphic movies before. We'd had Toy Story last decade. But this was people. And there's the Uncanny Valley aspect that is always there. And this movie managed to jump over that and had very realistic for the time without really getting into the Uncanny Valley. So it did a fantastic job of it. But it's not a good movie.
I also feel like, and I just because I reread it for a book club, that
and I wanted to rewatch the movie, but Ready Player One, I feel like, took some of its Avatar, like, generalities from how characters looked in this movie. Like,
oh, I see.
Like, if there had been a version of this movie for Final Fantasy VI and it had Locke, the main character of Ready Player One, I don't know if I'm looking at Andrew, if he's seen it.
I've seen
it.
Definitely not.
Kind of reminded me of if they had made a Locke.
So it's interesting. You're saying that 2001's best attempt to replicate what humans look like is 2019's. This is our attempt to replicate like an Uncanny Valley kind of version of a human. Because the avatars weren't supposed to look completely human.
Correct. Like, yeah,
supposed
I was
to look
say, like,
a
yeah,
like CG version.
I was about to say, like, the Oasis in Ready Player One was not supposed to be, like, the pinnacle of graphics.
But it was also supposed to be old at that point. You know, it had been around for a long time.
Yeah, like, but it's we're talking about
future.
A movie way far,
right,
way
future,
out of this decade. But yeah, but like, yes, by the time we see the Oasis in Ready Player One, it's been around for a couple of decades.
I think.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Final Fantasy Spirits Within, and in the same vein, Atlantis, The Lost Empire. I only bring this up because it seems to be the forgotten Disney movie.
Is that Michael J. Fox?
Yeah, Michael J. Fox is like this nerdy guy. There's apparently a princess, like the Princess of Atlantis, who everyone's like, why isn't she a Disney princess? And she's one of like the most badass ones too. She's
badass,
like a warrior princess,
hot.
And apparently hot, according to Andrew. I've not seen the movie, so I cannot comment, you know, if she's gadget level hotness or not. But
it's close.
Hi, boys.
So it just seems odd that it's, I guess, a forgotten Disney movie.
It is forgotten.
And apparently it was pretty decent.
It's okay.
Good reviews.
I think it's forgotten in large part because the story is not mainstream. It feels very sci-fi. Mm. And that's not something that's always going to appeal to the mainstream audience.
Okay. Yeah. So, like I said, I haven't seen it. But just when I was going through it, I'm like, I'm surprised this is... It's a big budget Disney movie that kind of has been forgotten to time. So,
talking about one more animation that if I listed the movie I had seen the most, this would hands down win it.
Monsters, Inc.
Monsters, Inc.
My God,
I've seen that so many times. And Monsters University.
I'm so glad you have this on your Worthy of Discourse list because you guys are hitting some of the ones on mine. And I had so many, so thank you.
Well, but what's interesting is you were talking about the technology in Final Fantasy Spirits Within. And like, Monsters, Inc. showed, this is...
Fur. Boom.
Yeah, here's Sully. We did it, like, kind of thing.
Same year. I'm astounded that those are the same year, because that's not my recollection, right? My recollection is the Final Fantasy Spirits Within was earlier, and maybe it was earlier in the year.
I was shocked that Monsters, Inc. was this early. Yeah. I would have expected this to be, like, second half of the decade or so. Because, like, Toy Story 2 was only, like, 2 years before this, and not to this level, I don't think.
This also, I think, really sets off a decade of Pixar.
Mm-hmm.
The movies that Pixar releases, obviously Toy Story is well known and they had the sequels, but these movies, starting with Monsters Incorporated and going on for the next couple of years, highlight their storytelling prowess in terms of building narratives and backing them up with strong visuals powered by these computer graphics. Monsters Incorporated not only has these technological wonders in terms of its computer graphics at the time, but what an incredibly powerful and heart-wrenching story.
Mm-hmm.
So good.
Okay, and then my other one that hadn't come up was Donnie Darko.
Yes!
I almost had that
on my list for Andrew.
Yeah.
Oh, well, so. I do like the movie very much.
Yeah,
so.
I almost...
Well, I had six for you.
That was almost one that I was going to put down for one of you, but I didn't feel strongly enough for it. But that also segues into, like, the actors that I mentioned, I think, at the top, that this was a pretty strong year for actors, because, yeah, Donnie Darko basically introduced us to Jake Gyllenhaal. I think maybe he had one more movie... Unfortunately, Bubble Boy was also this year. I'm sure he'd rather not remember that movie. Heath Ledger, I already mentioned him. This is not his debut, but is a pretty strong performance. I mean, he's pretty strong the entire time. We have George Clooney and Matt Damon from Ocean's 11. I think this was Will Smith's award year for Ali. I don't know if he won it. I don't think he won it.
Yeah, but he probably got nominated.
He probably got nominated. I could flip over if I cared. But basically, this is the year Will Smith went for an Academy Award. Denzel had Training Day. Mm-hmm. He won. So yeah, Will Smith did not win Denzel won for Training Day. This was like, you wouldn't have... does somebody have to smack a bitch, right, on the Chappelle Show? I don't think...
It was Wayne Brady.
Yeah, does Wayne Brady have to smack a bitch? I think that was parodying Training Day, I think.
So I guess I'm putting the explicit tag on this one.
You also had, so we talked about Vin Diesel for Pitch Black. This year, Vin Diesel had Fast and Furious. This was his introduction to Grand Theft Auto.
It was also much, much wider stream.
It was also, I forget which one, and I wrote it down, but this was The Rock's first year. Either he might, I think he was in Mummy Returns.
The Runaway, or he
was in Scorpion King.
Oh, Scorpion King.
Yeah, he was in Scorpion King this year, or I'll flip to it real quick. But yeah, no, Mummy Returns is this year. Scorpion King is 2002. But yeah, so this was The Rock's actually feature film debut, as far as I could know or care.
or care.
Nothing he did before mattered.
Yeah. Besides especially wrestling. And then this might just be a personal choice for Andrew and me, but I'm Yula. I am nobody's bitch.
The one.
Yeah. Yes.
Definitely. I got it.
This was our time in the year, time of our lives, where we could actually go see movies back to back.
Yep.
Speaking of not wanting to watch a 3-hour movie now.
Let's watch 2 hours in a row.
We would go to back to back movies. I forget what we watched before The One.
I don't remember at all.
I was struggling to look at this list, like, what in the world did we see back to back? And I really don't remember, unless we saw The One and then went to see Fellowship again or something. I don't know.
5 hours or something.
Jennifer Connelly had a beautiful mind, to your point. That was probably her strongest showing. And just to throw it more to the ladies, I also had that Nicole Kidman had... Oh, because in Moulin Rouge. She had Moulin Rouge and The Others in this year. And I always remember, forget which one. There's The Others and The Hours. I forget which one was the semi-horror movie.
So are we talking about influential actors, or are we giving...
I still have two more... Two more!
Oh, God.
Worthy of discourse movies.
Right. I was just jumping on it because since I was talking about Donnie Darko, I don't want to forget about Jake Gyllenhaal. So. Apologies to
Apparently,
Andrew.
Jake Gyllenhaal's first movie was in 1991.
Was it a feature role?
No, probably not. He was Billy Crystal's son in City Slickers.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I remember that. Yeah, that was the best part.
No, it's had nothing to do with it. But it's like, yeah. Okay, yeah, I see it.
I see it. You see him as Billy Crystal's son?
No, I see that child turning into Jake Gyllenhaal.
Okay.
So, Final Fantasy: The Spirits Within, Legally Blonde, Donnie Darko, Garrett. That's one of those that looks like an Andrew movie because it's dark, has some weird stuff going on.
And it has the word dark in it.
The movie title has the word, but it's also weird. It is very weird. I love that. It
has scary bunnies.
Scary bunnies. Monsters Incorporated, all mentioned already. Two that you guys have not mentioned that are still worthy of discourse. AI, Artificial Intelligence.
Haley Joel Osment
and Steven Spielberg in
finishing off Kubrick's last movie,
and it is one of those where people came into it expecting something and did not get it out of it, and so they didn't like it. If you come in without expectations, it's a really good movie.
So people aren't watching it right, is what you're saying?
Well, people expected a Kubrick movie and they expected a Spielberg movie, and they don't get either. Mm. And they expected it to be this grand spectacle, and it turns out to be a very narrow story. But it has a lot of powerful special effects in it. So you want this big special effects blockbuster movie, and it does feel a lot more like a Kubrick intense close movie. Mm. And then the other one is K-Pax.
Yeah, you love your Kevin Spacey.
This is my personal favorite Kevin Spacey movie.
Oh, okay.
Wow. I guess it's... Yeah, I can see that.
It's more than Usual Suspects?
More than Usual Suspects. More than American Beauty. Oh. Usual Suspects and American Beauty are both good movies. This movie is again, it comes down to the narrative. His performance in this is so profound. And
this is where he thinks he's an alien.
Right, so K-Pax, he plans to be from the planet K-Pax, and he's been institutionalized because everyone assumes he's crazy. and then while he's in the institution, who are, you know, he's dealing with these intractably incurable patients, he starts curing them of their mental diseases. Mm-hmm. And it was like, what the hell's going on? And he's continuing to degrade, and he's talking about his date when he's going to go home. And I'm not going to spoil the movie for anybody, but it is strongly powerful how this movie ends.
He fixes the cable?
Imagine where I buy some care.
Have you read the book?
It's based on a book.
I don't know if it's based on a book or if the book came afterwards, but
my wife has
read the book. Yeah. That's something that, well, I guess there are still novelizations of lots of movies. But
so I'll have to look into that because I did not know either way. So no, I have not read it. But it's a really good movie and definitely worthy of people knowing about it. Because I think it's completely forgotten about. I've talked about all these great movies in 2001. Something like K-Pax is going to fall off the radar of almost anybody.
Did they re-release 2001 A Space Odyssey in 2001?
They better have.
Star Wars can't bother to release a movie on May 4th when they release a movie in May of a year when May 4th is on a Friday.
We've got to get that Thursday for extra ticket sales.
No, they released it like 3 weeks later because it was Solo.
Never mind.
Could have been released on a May 4th and they didn't. I'm like, would it have done that much better?
So I probably not. I have three actors who I think had their first notable movie this decade that I think under consideration.
And none of them were the 10 I mentioned, huh?
I don't know.
You weren't paying attention when I was talking.
I blacked out. So Mike Myers for his work as Shrek. Right. And I think other stuff too. We'll find out as it goes on. Ian McKellen, Dark Horse, for his work as Magneto and as Gandalf. He probably might have been the high, or probably might have been, I don't know. He might have been the highest grossing actor.
2001.
For the decade. Just between, he's in all of the Lord of the Rings movies and.
Depends how you talk about it. Like, anybody in Harry Potter would automatically win.
Okay, fair. Okay. Last six movies.
I have spoken.
Fine. He's one of the highest grossing actors. And then, to your point, Emma Watson. Because eight. Really?
Oh, okay.
What?
I thought you were like linking her to Ian McKellen or
something. No. Just for the Harry Potter movies. Yeah. Like, because, as you noted, generally females tend to have fewer big movie roles. The fact that Emma Watson is in like eight notably big roles, even if she did nothing else, that would put her in the running with anybody else.
Beauty and the Beast was the first of these live action Disney movies that they're doing, or was it?
Yeah, not this decade, but.
Yeah, but I also don't think it was the first one.
I mean, it depends if you count Cinderella and stuff like that. There have been some before, but it kind of.
It started
off this more recent wave of them, yeah.
Yeah, because obviously there's less also like, well, Maleficent's not a princess movie, but yeah.
Yeah. So, anybody else have any. Notable.
I didn't really know actresses so much or actors.
I have a couple, but I'm only going to mention them in the movies that I'm talking about. So
okay, all right. So that's the end of 2001. All right, follow us on Twitter, Rampant Disc at Rampant Disc, on our Discord channel, Discord app. Go ahead, Andrew.
Discord.io/rampant discourse.
She's got it.
That's why we brought her on.
I got it.
Or hopefully, just click a link in the show notes.
I can start doing that. Sure.
I'm just making Paul work hard.
RampantDiscourse.com, a Facebook group, all sorts of wonderful things. Can't stop the discourse.